As you sing that song at the feet of Jesus. As you go through Scripture, it's amazing to me that the one we just sang about, Jesus Christ, sat at a well and waited for an adulterous woman. That same Jesus went out of his way to go to a cemetery, a place of the tombs, a place of the dead, to have a conversation or to meet with a man who was possessed by 10,000 demons. Jesus had conversations with religious leaders like we saw in Sunday school this morning, Nicodemus. We sang that song this morning, "You Are So Good to Me." One of the things that amazes me about Jesus Christ is he is willing to have a conversation with anybody. No matter their situation, no matter their background, no matter the God-awful, horrific sin they find themselves in right now, he is willing to sit and have a conversation with you and to lay out his plan for your life. He is willing to share his grace, his mercy, his victory, his life, his forgiveness with you. That's an amazing thought to me, that he is always willing to have an encounter with us, to allow him to encounter, to allow us to encounter him. Last Sunday, I started a new series. It's going to go through the entire year, and it's called Fresh Encounters. I'm doing a Bible study called Fresh Encounters. We're starting a Bible study today at 4:30 called Fresh Encounters, Experiencing God's Power for Spiritual Awakening. That's our theme, new, every day, every moment, fresh encounters with our Lord and Savior. I was in church as a small child, and we had a thing called children's choir. And every year in children's choir, we would put on a large performance for the church. I remember one year, the theme or the title of the program was Bullfrogs and Butterflies. Bullfrogs and butterflies, we've both been born again. Now, that's a Baptist thing, I guess. But I was gonna name, I actually did name or title this sermon Bullfrogs and Butterflies, but then I never talked about bullfrogs, so I went back and changed the sermon title to From Creepy Crawler to Beautiful Butterfly. That's the idea of the work of God in our life. And when we have an encounter with God, we could be this creepy little caterpillar, this creepy, crawly, furry, ugly-looking thing at one moment and then experience God and become a beautiful butterfly. That's my desire for this church. To move from creepy crawly to beautiful butterfly. And I hope none of you are offended that I think we're a creepy crawly thing right now. Because even though I'm a born again bullfrog, I want his freshness every day so that I can become a more beautiful butterfly tomorrow. That's going to be our theme for 2017. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 with me this morning. Romans chapter 12. Last week we were in Psalm 1, and it was the starting place. It's the jumping off point, and it was all about placing ourselves in a position that we might experience God. I'm really not sure that too many of us as church people give much thought into positioning ourselves to experience God. I don't know if many church people even realize that there is a way, a key position, to position ourselves so that we can experience God. Last week we looked at that. And I think God intends for us to experience in him in fresh, powerful ways. And one of the main reasons most of us won't experience God today even is because we will not properly position ourselves. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says this to the church. It is to the church. It is not to the outsiders, if you will. It is not to the people who have no desire whatsoever to be a godly person. It is not to a group of people that deny God. This is written to a group of people that say, we are his. It's written to us. Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. Right here in these two little verses, Paul gives us some practical insight into proper positioning and what proper positioning then brings. And I want to give you a few keys this morning on how you can experience, how we can experience fresh encounters with God. The key position, Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, is to present yourself. Now, the Greek word for present here means to stand at attention. Or in spiritual terms, Paul is telling the church, bring yourself to the altar of God and present yourself. Or bring yourself to the altar and surrender yourself. I heard a phone. Do I need to answer it? I want to. The Greek here, what Paul tells the church, now if you're a born-again, blood-bought believer, he says brothers, so by implication, he is writing to disciples of Jesus. He is writing to people who say, I have confessed Jesus as my Lord. I am a born-again, blood-bought believer, a triple B, as they're known around here. He says, this is what you are to be doing. You are to present yourself. You are to surrender yourself. One translation even mentions the idea, or one commentator says, it is the idea of coming unwrapped before God. Coming and putting yourself right here on the tray, on the table, if you will, saying, God, here I am. Paul doesn't say come and present yourself as something special. The idea is coming and saying, God, this is all I have to give. Sadly, many of us miss out on a fresh encounter, on an experience with God, on getting to know Him on a deeper, more intimate level, simply because we believe that what I have to offer is not good enough. He spent time waiting at a well for a woman who knew multiple men. She was a prostitute. He went out of his way to go to a graveyard to have a conversation with a man who was possessed by thousands upon thousands of demons. He went out of his way to speak to the broken and the empty and the lame and the deaf. He went out of his way to point out that a woman, a widow, who gave the thinnest little tiny piece of copper, outgave an entire congregation. How dare you and I sit here and say, I don't have anything good to offer. All he wants is all you have. And many of us in the church today will miss out because we will not come before God when all He is doing is saying, come and present yourself. But I'm dirty. That's okay. He likes your dirt. Now, I'm not saying He says you're a good sinner. He's not saying keep up the good sin. He goes, no. I want to take your dirt and make you clean. This is how we glorify God. We trust Him that He will do what He says He's going to do. This is how we honor God. We come and surrender our garbage unto Him. We come in our weak-minded, weak, feeble physical bodies and say, this is all I got. That's where God shows up and does the miracles. And we miss out on a miracle because we just go, I can't come to God. Or God can't use me. No. He can use you and He will use you if you will just come and present yourself. Do you know how to present yourself? Get up off your seat, get on your feet, and walk to the altar of God. In a church like this morning, this would be a great place to start. You can do it right now if you would love to experience something of God. You can do it at the end when it's more normal or typical. You could do it at home this afternoon. You could just go right to, go to the throne in your house. It's white and porcelain. And go to God, I don't have anything. But this to me means nothing. To God, you are everything. Your life, He died for. And we sang that song and I was noting it this morning. I jotted it down to remind you. You are my Jesus who loves me. You might have mouthed those words or saw them on the thing. You might have heard them. Here's what the singers said this morning. He poured out His blood for you. Jesus put it this way when He took the cup and He said, this is the cup of the new covenant. This is my blood which was shed for you for your forgiveness. He wants to take your lame, limp, broken, nasty life and cleanse it of all the garbage. He died on a cross to bring you out of the pit of hell. That's awesome. So don't sit there and go, I don't know what to do. Present yourself. Come unwrapped before him. If not, you're going to miss an encounter with your Savior. After that, Paul says, listen, present yourself. And then he gives this do not be conformed command. This is key, church. The word here in the Greek means don't be fashioned like, made in the mold of. This is not just a New Testament teaching. This was not something new that Paul was giving to the church in Rome. If you go all the way back into Deuteronomy in chapter 18, Moses, actually the Lord speaking to and then through Moses, looks at the people and says, listen, when you come into this land that the Lord your God is giving you, so when you come into this new land, do not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. This is not something new that God looks at this new church in Rome and says, okay, here's the deal. Don't be conformed. No, the entire premise from Genesis to Revelation is you and I are to live different. We were bought with a price. The price was Jesus Christ. And we are therefore called to honor God with our lives, with our bodies, with our testimonies, with our actions and our attitudes. Born again, blood-bought believers are to live in this world, but not be of this world. Here's the question that I think Paul would ask the church in Rome, and I think Paul would ask us today. Are we different? 1 Peter 2 and 9 says this, we are a peculiar people. Now, I like that word, because when I look at us, we're peculiar. And in English, that means weird. In English, peculiar means they're a little off. But that's not what Peter means. That's not what God's word says in 1 Peter 2, 9. The word in the Greek means a people who have been purchased and purchased for a purpose. When Peter says that you are a royal priesthood, you are a people who are peculiar, Peter doesn't mean you're to be weird and offset. What Peter says is God brought you and he bought you and he set you aside for a very specific purpose. You are special, God says. Now, I don't know about you, but in my house, we have this china, we have two china cabinets and a, what's that little, buffet. And it just got cleaned out this year. Because it had all kinds of special dishes in it that we never used. And the little buffet got cleaned out. Now there's a big china thing that I think is coming next. I see your eyeball on it. It's got dishes in it we've never even touched. They're special dishes that'll come out at a special dinner. Right? Y'all got any of that stuff? Yes. Special stuff set apart for special purposes, and they rarely get used. Unfortunately, that describes most church people. We're special. We're set apart for a very specific purpose. We just sit on our little fannies in our little pews, never experiencing God because we don't want to get put in an uncomfortable situation. No, I'm fancy china. No, I'm not. I'm an everyday dish that needs to be used every day. But in the eyes of God, I am fine bone china. Not to be set up over here and ignored. Not to be set up over here and set aside for only one little special day a year purpose. I am a special bone china dish made, purposed by God. I am peculiar. You are peculiar. I am not to be conformed to this world, because the more I get conformed to this world, the more I become like this world. And the more I become like this world, the more problems that I bring into my usefulness. So Paul says, listen, you are a set apart person. You are not to live of this world, because when you live of this world, you damage the goods. And God doesn't want you to be damaged good. God wants you to be bone fine china that is very delicate and yet extremely strong. That is perfect for every good use and yet can be easily damaged. The idea that Paul is telling the people is, you are to be known as different. You are to be seen as different. You are to be seen as an incredibly peculiar person, but you are to be used every single day you are in this world. Too many of us miss out experiencing God, fresh encounters, simply because we would rather be more like this world. We would rather fit in to this world than be constantly bombarded by struggles. We would rather just kind of go along to get along rather than stand out as something exceptionally different. I don't want to be made fun of. Listen, I've raised two children. I'm raising a third. And every day of their lives, I want my children to be liked. I want my children to be loved. I remember the first time I watched my oldest daughter be ridiculed by another child. And God love Madison, she was so clueless she never knew. But I got so angry at that other two-year-old. I remember when my children were in youth, that age, and their peers looked at them and mocked them and made fun of them. I got so angry. I don't, yeah, it's Sarah, she did it mostly. Just kidding. I don't want my children to have to suffer. But I know that if my children are going to live being transformed, which is the next part, if they're being transformed, if their mind is being altered, if the metamorphosis of going from creepy crawling to beautiful butterfly, from little tiny tadpole to big old bullfrog, if that is happening in their lives, then in this world they will suffer. But the one that we just sang about, the one who died on the cross, the one whose blood was shed for us, he says, but take good courage from it because I've overcome the world. I want my children to enjoy life as it is, but I want them to be prepared to have a life eternal more than I want them to enjoy life on this planet. And that's what Paul, when Paul says to the church in Rome, oh my gosh, Romans, oh brothers, oh man, come and present yourself to God. Come and lay yourself on his altar. Come and be unwrapped before him. Let him know who you are. Let him see who you are. Let him take who you are. Because then what God wants to do is he wants to begin a work of transformation in your life. And the first thing he says is, look, you live in a world, but don't seek to be like that world. Rather, seek to be transformed. The word that Paul uses in the Greek is the English, or is the word that we get for English for metamorphosis. From caterpillar to butterfly is a metamorphosis. Change happens. You know, I was studying butterflies and caterpillars this week. And I asked some silly questions in my office, and I'm going to ask them today. And I know Wendy's going to shake her head at me. But you know, the butterfly genes are in the caterpillar. And I don't mean blue jeans. I mean in the DNA of a caterpillar is a butterfly. The caterpillar cannot fly when it is born, but it was born to fly. It has no idea that it's going to fly. It just goes into cocoon mode one day, and another day comes out a butterfly. And I started asking myself some questions this week. What if the caterpillar decided to never go into cocoon mode? And Wendy says, it doesn't have a choice. It is not a rational being. Wendy also doesn't think that dogs are humans either. Sarah. They weren't made in the image of God, Sarah. This is Wendy, not me. I agree with you. Actually, I don't. I really don't. I'm asking myself this question. What if the caterpillar just decided, you know what? I'm satisfied being a caterpillar. I'm satisfied just inching my way around. I almost brought the Hunger Caterpillar book today. Isn't that what it's called? Any grandparent or parent know the Hunger Caterpillar book? It's an awesome book. I almost brought it to you. The Hunger Hungry Caterpillar just goes and eats it whole through everything. How many of us are just, you know what, I'm just satisfied being a caterpillar. I'm just going to keep inching my way along through. I got a little leaf I can eat over here. I got a little leaf I can eat over here. I don't want to be a butterfly. What if the caterpillar just decided that? The thing about a caterpillar to a butterfly, the caterpillar becomes the butterfly, and then God's work is complete in the caterpillar's life. Paul told the church in Philippi this. This is the one thing I am certain, Paul says, that he who began a good work in me will bring it to completion. That he who began the work in me will complete the work. You see, the caterpillar doesn't have a choice, as Wendy pointed out. The caterpillar is not able to have rational thought. The caterpillar just is a caterpillar until one day cocoon mode hits and it does a little cocoon thing, and then another day, poof, out comes a beautiful butterfly. So many of us as Christians think that's the same way we can live our Christian life. No. Paul says, don't be conformed, but be being transformed. If we don't present ourselves, if we don't bring ourselves to God unwrapped, if we don't say, God, here I am, and all of my horrific, ugly stuff, God, here I am, I'm presenting myself to you. If we don't present ourselves to him, then we will never be transformed. If we present ourselves to him and say, here I am, God, I'm a caterpillar, and I'm fully satisfied being a caterpillar, I don't want to be transformed. We are not surrendering ourselves to him. We have an opportunity to be metamorphosized, to go from creepy crawly to beautiful butterfly. If that caterpillar decides to never go into cocoon mode, it will never experience God's completed work in its life. Never. And too many of us in the church, we're missing out on experiencing God because we want to live our lives our way. We don't want to be transformed. I'm fully satisfied where I'm at. Can't I be this and have Jesus? Can I live this life and have Jesus? Can I add Jesus to my life like an ingredient in a recipe? No, you can't. Well, I believe I can, Pastor. Then you're wrong. I believe I can have this little life over here, add Jesus to it to make my life more complete. No. That's not a biblical, there's nowhere near being biblical in that stance. And yet so many of us, we want to go about our daily routine according to our plan and just put a little bit of Jesus in it. No. We can't live our lives the way we want to live them. We have to literally go to cocoon mode. How do we do that? He lays it out right here. Don't be conformed, but be transformed. How am I transformed? By the renewing of my mind. You know what the Greek word for renewal here is? It's the word that you and I get for renovation. Since I have cable for basketball these days, I also have cable for HGTV. My wife wants to bring the Property Brothers and Chip and whatever her name is to our house. JoJo, was that her name? You know, well, they don't like homosexuals, so we're not bringing them to our house. Just kidding. My wife is like, oh, I want Property Brothers to come and give me some ideas. No, I'm just like, renovation. By renovation, it means you take what is old and you remove it and put in new. That's what Chip and JoJo do. That's what the Property Brothers do. They work with multi-million dollar homes. My home's not a multi-million dollar home, therefore they can't come to my house. That's my reason. I know. Out with the old, in with the new. How do we renew our mind? This mind, this thing, this thinking thing, this desiring thing, these things have to be removed, renovated. The old out and the in new. Here's how Paul described it to the church in Ephesus. Paul never changed his message. He had to tell the church in Rome this, the church in Philippi this, the church in Colossae this, the church in Ephesus this. Here's how I said it. Put off your old self. Put it off. Now, he's speaking to the church, and what does he say? Put it off. Take it off. Put off the old self. So many of us, we don't experience God because we'll stand here and go, okay, God, change me. And God goes, take that sweater off. That doesn't look good on you. No, I like this sweater. I love it when my wife says, does this make me look fat? I have the perfect response. It's not the dress. My wife is not fat. But the thing is we want, we'll go out and pick out an outfit that we think is cute on the hanger, and you've all said, just because they make it in your size. Right? There's a responsibility here. I'm trying to make this light, but the real fact of the matter is many of us will not experience God because we will not put off our old self. We want to live according to our rules. We won't put off our old likes. We won't put off our old mannerisms. We won't put off these things. Paul says it belongs to the former manner of life. It is corrupt and deceitful. I ask myself, you look good in that sweater. And then my daughters come up and go, Dad, sweaters are not yours. Then my wife looks at me and goes, I like the sweater. Who do you think I listen to? My wife. As long as she's okay with the way I look, I don't care what anybody else thinks. Now turn that around spiritual. What if God is looking at me going, take that off? But I like how it makes me feel. Stop doing that. But I like how it makes me feel. What if God is doing that to us? If we don't put off, which is from the manner of the old, we'll never experience the new. Because that's the next verse he says. Put off this, and then you got to put on the new self. My wife has a favorite store. It's called Maurice's. She can walk into Maurice's, pick anything off the hanger, and it just fits her and looks good on her. That's why she likes Maurice's. She doesn't shop at many other stores because she can't do that, but she can walk into Maurice's. Now, I can tell her, go to Maurice's. Oh, really? Yeah, go to Maurice's. What do I get to buy? Nothing. Why do I go to Maurice's then? Just to look. That's stupid. You go to a clothing store to do what? Buy clothes. I go to the University of Kansas basketball games to do what? Cheer them on. I don't sit there quietly. Paul says, if you're a born-again, blood-bought believer, he says, brothers, listen. You ought to be being transformed. Your mind ought to be going through a renovation process. Your heart ought to be going through a renovation process. Your life ought to be going through a renovation process. You ought to be taking off that which was and put on that which is. What is it? A new life. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You've come from a caterpillar. You're a butterfly. You don't have to creepy crawly anymore. You get to fly. You're not a tadpole anymore with a little tail whooshing your way through the water. You're a bullfrog that can jump. Act like it. Live like it. Put on, he says what? Put on the new. The new self created after the likeness of God. Created after the likeness of God. Let me ask you a question, those of you who think that dogs are humans. Where does it say in the Bible that he created animals in his own image? He didn't. But what does it say about man and woman created in the image of God? He created us to be his image, to be his reflection. How awesome is that? Don't look in the mirror and go, I don't like what I see. Look in the mirror and go, hey, Jesus. I can't do that, Pastor. Then you probably need to present yourself. You probably need to come unwrapped before God this morning and go, God, I can't stand in front of a mirror and see you. If you've presented yourself, then maybe if you're not seeing the reflection in the mirror, it's because you're too conformed to this world. You look too much like the world. You sound too much like the world. You smell too much like the world. And every time you look in the mirror, you're frustrated because you see the world and you don't see Jesus. How do I get transformed? How does this whole thing work? I'll tell you how it works. The work of God, the renovation of God, he uses his word as a tool and he uses his spirit as the craftsman. If you are an HDTV Property Brothers people, I don't know the Property Brothers names. What are their names? Drew and Scott? Yeah, Drew and Scott, okay? Drew and Scott, all right? They have tools in their hand. One of them has tools. The other one just walks around dressed like a fancy guy. I've never seen that other one work. One of them has these tools, and he's got the saw, and he's got the sledgehammer, and the sledgehammer is beating down the wall. The sledgehammer is the Word of God. The Spirit of God is the one who wields the sledgehammer. You want to be renovated? You want your mind renewed? You want your heart renewed? You want your life renewed? Open this thing up and let God work. Because He will. He will work in your life through His Word. He will do a work of renovation. And sometimes, yes, it might be painful. I was thinking about this last night as we were watching it. I wonder what the house feels like when Drew and Scott or Chip come in there with their big tools and they start pouring down and pushing out walls. I wonder if the house goes, ah, oh! But then when the end of the show comes and the people walk in, I wonder if the house goes, eh, it's worth it. No, Darren, houses are not rational beings. Neither are most Christians. We're sheep. Can I tell you, I know people in this room, the renovating process was painful. I know marriages in this room that went through incredible struggles, painful struggles. They would never wish to do that again. And yet now on the other side, they're like, I'm not asking for it, but if I had to do it again, I could do it again because I know what being a butterfly is like. I know the houses are irrational things that cannot think that way. But we are. We are human beings that God says, I want to bring you from a caterpillar and I want to make you a butterfly. And you say, oh, Pastor, I just don't know how that works. This is what Paul told the church in Colossae, talking about the same thing. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it dwell. You know, here's one of the main reasons we don't experience the power of God. We don't experience fresh encounters of God. We will not let this dwell in us richly, because we won't open it. Oh, Pastor, just tell me what I need to know. Open your word. Oh, you understand? I'm too dumb. I don't get the Greek and the Hebrew. It's not written in Greek and Hebrew. This is English. And how awesome is God that He even puts it in English, or as Jake McDonald says, Mexican. I heard that quote today. I've said it like 5 times, Butchie. God will speak to us in our language. You don't have to know Greek. I don't know Greek and Hebrew. I'll let John MacArthur tell me what Greek and Hebrew is. I don't really care many times. I just want to know what God is speaking to my heart. And when I open up, some of you have seen this happen in my office. Book of the Bible. The Bible's closed. God, I need your word. I need your direction. I need your wisdom. And I flopped open the Bible and Miranda pointed out, there's a coffee stain. When I read that coffee stain, did it not speak directly to the situation we were talking? I mean direct, like God going, I'm going to write this on the wall. This is how He transforms. This is the work of renovation, by His word. And we will not experience the power of God if we will not let, as in get this thing in here and in here. Moments by moment. Start your day out with Him. Figure it out in the middle with Him. End your day with Him. It's not really that hard. Oh, Pastor, I've tried. It just doesn't work. No, you don't work. You can't open this up and get anything from it if you won't come presenting yourself before Him. That's why every time I open it up, I just go, God, this is your word, and your word is written to me, and I need your word right now for fill in the blank. And then I open up the word and I begin at the top. In English, I was taught, start at the top left and work your way to the right and down. Now, if you're reading a foreign language, that's different. If it's Japanese, I know it's like, and if it's Hebrew, it's this. But in English, you start at the top left, you work your way to the right and down. Sometimes the first word God uses. Sometimes I have to turn a page. But God has never, ever let me down when I've turned for His work through His word. His Spirit will lead us and guide us every work, every day. Too many of us miss out because we just won't get into God's word and we won't apply that word to our life. Psalm 119, what does it say? I will hide your word in my heart that I what? May not sin against you. You know what the number one problem for us continuing to fall into sin? We are not hiding God's word in our heart. And that's not just pure memorization. That's called the word there in Psalm 119 is engraving. We have to apply this word to our life. We have to just hear it. James says, don't just be a hearer of the word. Do it, apply it, follow through, obey it. Sadly, many of us miss out on these fresh encounters and experiences with God because all we're doing is getting our 30-second devotion on the radio We're reading our little, and I have nothing wrong with the devotionals that come on the radio. I don't have any problem with the daily breads and all these. I get them in my emails and I read them. Our email administrator emails us out the Word of God every day. I can read it every day, but if I don't apply it, I'm going to miss. I can hear it, but if I don't obey it, I'm going to miss. Sadly, too many of us will not present ourselves. We will not allow ourselves to be transformed. We will just become more like this world. We won't get into God's word. And because we won't do that, we won't find the key purpose of our life. Look at the last part of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. After the being transformed, remind, why? So that you may what? Prove. So that you may what? Prove, know, experience, reveal. That all those words mean the same thing in the Greek. Prove, reveal, show, know what is what? Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You know what is amazing to me? What Paul is saying here is, listen, if you will present yourself to God, if you will allow God to begin to show you in your life where you are conforming yourself to this world, if you will present yourself to the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, to be transformed by that Word, let God do His work of renovation in your life, then you will know the will of God. You will be able to discern the will of God, to discern what is good, what is acceptable, what is pure. You will be able to test the authenticity of what God says. You will experience His truth in your life. What is amazing to me is I have so many Christian friends that will walk up and go, I just don't know what God's will is for my life. Guess what? Now you do. Now you do. Now you understand that God says, I want you to be able to prove the authenticity of my work in your life. That's God's will for you. God wants you, Amber, to prove the authenticity of His existence through your life. Margaret, God wants you to prove the authenticity of His existence through your life. That's God's will. He wants you and I to show the world that He is real. How do I do that, Pastor? Present yourself unto Him. Kevin's going to come. He's going to play this little thing over here. Traditionally, in the American church, we know, fixing to get out of here. Traditionally, this is called the invitation, where the Bibles get closed and the purses get packed up and the coats get ready to put on and the kids are told, put away the crayons and everything else. We're fixing to go to lunch. We're not traditional. We're peculiar. We're set apart for a purpose. And the purpose right now is that God says, I want you to experience me more. We fashioned a couple prayer benches up here. And we say, this is a great time for you to come and present yourself to God. How do I do that, Pastor? Well, in just a moment, when I say stand up, you're going to be off your seats and you're going to be on your feet. God gave you feet for a reason. Movement. You can present yourself to God right where you sit. You don't have to stand and come down here. Paul doesn't outline that you have to come down the aisle and come to the left or the right. Paul just says present yourself. Just bring yourself unwrapped to God right where you are. And ask Him, Lord, I know there's problems with this life. I know there are, God. I don't have to reveal them to you. But God, I want you to start to change me. I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't think the caterpillar, when he goes in to cocoon, knows if he's going to come out a monarch or a moth. I know we know because we've studied that, but I don't think the caterpillar knows. The caterpillar just does it. I don't know if you're going to come out a moth or a monarch. I don't know what color your wings are going to be or how big your tentacles are going to be, but I know that what God wants to do in your life is a brand new work, a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, all things are new. Pastor, I'm born again. I'm blood bought. Cool. Amen. Praise Jesus. Are you fully experiencing all that God has for you? I promise you, you're not. Why? Because you're still here. So how do you come? On your feet to Him. And ask Him, Lord, speak to me. Show me what needs to be done in my life. Where I can experience you more. Pastor, I'm not sure He'll receive me. Well, in this book, the Bible, the guy who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, inspired by God, the Apostle Paul called himself the chiefest of sinners. That gets you and me off the hook. He waited at a well for a well-known prostitute. He went into the tombs to meet a man who was possessed by 10,000 demons. He walked up to the pool of Bethesda to lame men. He healed the blind. He gave hearing to the deaf. The lame walked again. The dead rose. You ain't that bad. So on the authority of this book, on the authority of his word, I promise you, if you will come, he will receive you. If you will take one step to him, he will draw near to you. If you will step out of your boat into the storm of life, trusting him, his hand will be there to grab you and to rescue you. But you have to be the one to present yourself this morning. So as you stand, will you be ready to experience God? Father, thank you for another day. The privilege, Father, that we've had to gather in this place and call ourselves by your name, to call ourselves Christians. The opportunity we've had, Father, to gather in this place and open your word and experience you through your word. God, I just simply ask that right now in this time, in this place, in these people, that your will would be done just as it is in heaven. Call the lost to salvation, Father. Call the empty to fullness, the broken to wholeness, the sick to healing, the dead to life. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Altar is here. Invitation.